DiscerningHearts.com presents The Contemplation to Attain the Love of God with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He's featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He's also the author of numerous books based on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We now begin part two of this special presentation on the contemplation to attain the love of God with Father Timothy Gallagher. Second, consider how God dwells in all creatures, in plants and in animals and in humans. Indeed, he makes a temple of me, since I have been created in his image and likeness. When I reflect upon this marvelous honor bestowed upon me, what sort of offering should I make?
So this is the focus. God not only has given us his creation, but himself lives within it, is present to us in it, and in different ways according to the different levels of creation. So in the elements giving them existence, so the earth itself, the inanimate part of creation, God is present to it constantly, giving them existence, conserving them. This is one of the truths of our faith, but it's a simple philosophical truth as well, that God not only creates the whole richness of the created world in which we live and of which we're a part, but constantly preserves it in being. Were God to withdraw for an instant from it, it would all cease to be. So God not only creates into existence, brings into existence, but he is consistently present to every smallest aspect of his creation, giving it existence. And so we just consider that in the inanimate world, the earth, the rivers, and so forth, God is there, endlessly, constantly present to them, giving them existence. In the plants, giving them life. And so God is also consistently present to the whole richness and profusion of the plants and the trees and the fields and so on around us. And now conferring a higher level of being upon them, they are living things, giving them life. In the animals, conferring upon them sensation, present to the whole richness of the animal life around us, conferring yet a further degree of reality upon them so that they are sensate beings. And then finally, in man, bestowing understanding, present to us, giving us a spiritual life, a mind that can know, a will that can love and desire. In all of this, God is present to us, giving us this. So, he dwells in me. This is the person praying, thinking now. He dwells in me and gives me being, like the elements, the inanimate elements, life, like the plants, sensation, like the animals, and intelligence, a specifically spiritual level of being that surpasses any of these other levels of creation just mentioned, and makes a temple of me. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, and makes a temple of me, since I am created in the likeness and image of the divine majesty. So this is what Ignatius is inviting us to consider in this second point, how God is present to all of his creation and in a uniquely rich way within me, the human person, present in the spiritual dimension of my being, which he makes the temple of his Holy Spirit in a grace given in baptism. In Acts 17, when Paul speaks to the Athenians, he tells them in him, now this is the God they don't know, but this is the God that we do know through Jesus Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. It might be rich just to stop and look at each of those three things. Paul says, in him, in God, we live. We live enveloped by God, surrounded by God, inhabited by God who dwells within us. In him we live and move. Anything we do is done with the power and the life and a gift given by God. In him we live and move and have our being, our whole existence. We could think of the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, God present, even in our own humanity, present to us. We can think of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Church in Pentecost, poured out upon the Church through all the ages, in the sequence that we say on Pentecost Sunday. One description of the Holy Spirit is this, in the Latin, Dulcis Hospes Animae, literally, sweet guest of the soul, who lives within us, dwells within us. We could ponder the indwelling of the Trinity itself, this ineffable mystery that God himself, the Trinity, lives within us, dwells within us, which is why each human being is so uniquely precious. We can think of the gift of the Holy Eucharist, Jesus endlessly present among us, waiting us whenever we wish to approach him. And then, perhaps in just a very personal way, God present to me, in that lovely phrase of Paul Claudel, God is the one who is more intimate to me than I am to myself. God is the one who is more present to me than I am to myself. Now, I'm going to read just a part of Psalm 139. These are the first verses. And this is the marvel of the one at prayer, at realizing how intimately close and present to him God is. O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising, even that. When I awake in the morning to go about the day, you discern my purpose from afar. You know what I'm about. You mark when I walk or lie down. All my ways lie open to you. Before ever a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord, through and through, even every word that I say, and even before I say it, God is that close. Behind and before you besiege me, your hand ever laid upon me. That's a beautiful thing. It's like just the image of the Father's or Jesus' right hand placed upon my shoulder. You're that close to me. I'm thinking, you know, as I say this, let's say of a father with a son or a mother with a young son or young daughter, and maybe they're watching something or just participating in a family time, maybe watching another young brother playing his little league game, and the parent's hand just rests on the shoulder of the child without any words. But it means everything to the child. You're present to me. You're with me. I'm not alone. Too wonderful for me, this knowledge, too high beyond my reach. And now questions that can have no answer. Oh, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your face? Nowhere. You're that present, always. If I climb the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the nether world, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell at the sea's furthest end, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. So this is what we're considering in the second point, is this wonderful mystery of how God is present to us in all the different degrees of creation, but most intimately, personally, to me, his beloved son, beloved daughter. Then Ignatius says, having considered this, for whatever time our hearts desire, I will reflect upon myself again in the manner stated in the preceding point, or in some other way that may seem better, which is to say, being filled with a sense of how much God is doing for me and being constantly present to me in so many ways, filled with gratitude, my heart desires to respond. And so for a second time, I return to the Sushipe prayer and repeat this from my heart.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me.
In the third point, Ignatius invites us to consider how God labors and works on our behalf, So through all of these gifts, God is not only present, not only giving us these gifts and not only present in them, but he is constantly working, laboring on my behalf through these gifts. So the third point.
Third, consider how God is laboring for me and all the creatures on the earth. He is not content simply to set things in motion, but toils for my benefit. He makes trees bear fruit for us. He makes the sun shine upon us and never ceases to work on my behalf. When I see the Lord laboring without rest for my good, what sort of offering should I make?
What Ignatius invites us to consider here is God not only creates the richness of the created world around us and us within it, and is not only present to it, but constantly as our lives unfold, God is working through these different degrees of created reality, and then very directly in our own relationship with him, working on our behalf. Some biblical images of this, which may help us just to see this, that is to see that if the heavens exist and maintain their order, it's because God is present to them, conserving them in that order. If the elements support us, if the vegetative and sensitive life of the plants and animals continues to function in its orderly way, it's because God is at work in all of this, conserving all of this in its proper order and function. And above all, if I have life and continue to walk on my spiritual journey, it's because God is constantly serving me. As Ignatius says, God is makes himself as one who works, as one who labors. So some biblical images of this, which might just introduce us into this reality. Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, John 13, just the image of Jesus having removed his outer garment, having girded himself with a towel, filled a basin with water, kneeling at the feet of his disciples, washing their feet. God who labors in so many ways for me. Or in John 21, when they recognize Jesus now at the lake shore as Jesus, and they bring the boat in and come to the shore, Jesus has prepared breakfast for them. Come and eat, children, come and eat. Again, an image of the way God works on our behalf. And then Jesus, who says at various points in the gospel, I am in the midst of you as one who serves. Or in Matthew 20, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And these are images of the God who, as Paul says in Philippians 2, when Jesus comes into the world, he takes the form of a slave. The word can mean either slave or servant. And then gives himself, spends himself in the work of redemption. We could think of the Father's divine providence constantly at work in our lives. As we've said earlier, causing this event to happen or that meeting to take place, or inspiring in us to take the step that just now becomes so important. So many things in our lives that oftentimes we don't see in the moment, but see more clearly in retrospect. This is the Father silently, patiently, continuously guiding our lives through his divine providence. And we can think of the Holy Spirit always at work within us as the consoler, the advocate, the paraclete, the one who is constantly inspiring, leading us more deeply, drawing us forward. Biblically, we can see this expressed in Romans 8:28. We know that in everything, God works. In everything, God works for good with those who love him. And then Paul continues to develop this in the same passage. So this is the space of this third point in the prayer. Just to seek the grace as we explore these different aspects of an understanding and intimate knowledge, Ignatius says, of how God constantly is serving me, constantly at work on my behalf. And then remembering that love is more a matter of deeds than words, and love is a mutual exchange. What is my response? And for a third time, we return to the Sushipe prayer. Take, Lord, receive.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. We'll return to The Contemplation to Attain the Love of God with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment.
Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. Can you please help support this vital ministry? Discerning Hearts is a 100% listener-supported Catholic apostolate. Now through the end of August, please prayerfully consider making a sacrificial gift to help us raise $30,000 to fund truly life-changing Catholic programming and prayer. The financial contributions of listeners like you enables us to continue this important ministry. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations are fully tax deductible. As an independent, non-for-profit lay organization that is not affiliated financially with any diocese, our apostolate is fully listener-supported. Again, between now and the end of August, please visit discerninghearts.com to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless you from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
A prayer for the intercession of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. O Father, fountain of all life and holiness, you gave Father Bruno Lanteri great faith in Christ your Son, a lively hope, and an act of love for the salvation of his brethren. You made him a prophet of your word and a witness to your mercy. He had a tender love for Mary, and by his very life he taught fidelity to the Church. Father, hear the prayer of your family, and through the intercession of Father Lanteri, grant us the grace for which we now ask. May he be glorified on earth, that we may give you greater praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts. We now return to The Contemplation to Attain the Love of God with Father Timothy Gallagher.
And then in the fourth point, Ignatius invites us to look at God's gifts from yet another perspective. So that God gives them, first point, that God is present in them, second point, that God labors on our behalf through them, third point. And now finally to consider that all of these gifts are from God. They are an outflow from God, a participation in the reality of God. And they reveal God. Something of God is seen through them.
Finally, consider all blessings and gifts from heaven like water from a fountain. All the power and justice and goodness and mercy that I possess from God, who reigns into my soul. When I see all the gifts God has showered upon me, what sort of offering should I make?
So Ignatius says, fourth point, this is to consider all blessings and gifts as descending from above. Thus, my limited power comes from the supreme and infinite power above. If I can do anything, create anything, raise a family, do my work, share in the life of the Church in various ways, whatever limited power, but real power God has given me to accomplish and to do. All of this is an outpouring from the infinite power in God. It's a limited but beautiful and rich sharing that God gives me in his infinite power. If we want to use the word that St. Thomas Aquinas would use for this, the precise word is our limited created reality is a participation in the infinite and unlimited reality of God, which is also why, because it's precisely a participation in that, it also reveals God in limited but real ways. So too, justice, goodness, and mercy. So if there's any justice in this world, if there's any goodness in this world, if there's any mercy in this world, they are there as sharings and outflow from the infinite justice, goodness, and mercy that are in God. So all of these are created power, justice, goodness, and mercy, and so forth, descend from above, and Ignatius gives us two images. Descend from above as rays of light descend from the sun, and as waters flow from their fountains. And this is a nice way to see it. So the light that we receive as a light that pours forth from the sun, which is its source. And you watch a fountain bubbling up, and there's the pool of water. All of that water is flowing out from the original fountain. And that is the truth of all the different gifts and blessings that we have. So we look at, in this fourth point, all that surrounds us and ourselves with the understanding that this is a sharing of this infinite richness in God. St. Bonaventure says at one point in his writings that God revealed himself through two books, the book of Scripture, which is the written book, and then the book of nature. So that as we enter more deeply into and just see the beauties of creation around us, here we're invited to have eyes open to the truth that what we are seeing here is a created participation in the infinite beauty of God. The beauty that we see here, if we see it that way, it does become a book in which God reveals himself. All of creation around us becomes a pathway toward God. And it's said of St. Ignatius that in his latter years, he would go out walking in the garden and he would say to the flowers, "Be silent. I already know what you want to tell me." In them and through them, seeing God as sharings in God. We may have had this experience sometimes, and I'll just share it in one personal way, but we can all find this in our own experience. Whether it's through the beauties of creation around us, when our hearts are stirred by music, when our hearts thrill at the goodness of our child, so many circumstances, and we catch a glimpse for a moment of something beyond. I remember once listening to a Bach cantata, one of the movements in it, which is exquisitely, exquisitely beautiful. And just finding myself saying, this is not possible without a source. There's something more than simply a human reality at work here. And so just for a moment, it's like a veil being taken aside for a moment, and you just catch a glimpse of the deeper truth behind the beauty that is before you. That's the dynamic of this fourth point.
Finally, consider all blessings and gifts from heaven like water from a fountain. All the power and justice and goodness and mercy that I possess from God, who reigns into my soul. When I see all the gifts God has showered upon me, what sort of offering should I make?
So that, to say it in maybe a little more formal language, all of creation is a sacrament of the infinite perfection and beauty of God. A sacrament is something visible that leads us to know the presence of something that our eyes cannot see. So we see the water being poured over the child at baptism, and that is a visible sign of an interior reality taking place, the washing clean from sin of the child, and the embrace of God's grace and the opening of eternal life. And we can say something of the same of the Eucharist, for example, when we see the now consecrated host as the priest holds it up. What we see is a sacrament. It's a visible reality that our eyes can see. And through it, we know another reality that our eyes cannot see, but which is really and truly present, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord. And so this fourth point invites us to see all that surrounds us in the created world as a sacrament, as something visible which reveals the invisible but true and rich presence of God to us. All of this is simply a sharing in the Lord. And then again, as with the preceding points, aware that love is a matter of what we do more than what we say, and that love is a mutual sharing. If God does so much for us, what will our response be? And then we return yet again to the Sushipe and pray it.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me.
So that is the contemplation to attain divine love as Ignatius gives it to us. And my prayer would be that as we go through this, our hearts would expand in a sense of how much we are loved. And that, as Therese says, because gratitude is the thing that brings us the most grace, in a rich and powerful way, our hearts would expand in a desire to correspond to that love, so that the communion between us and the one who loves us so much continually grow. May God grant us that blessing.
You've been listening to The Contemplation to Attain the Love of God with Father Timothy Gallagher. This has been a special presentation brought to you by DiscerningHearts.com and the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. To hear and or to download this presentation, along with many different programs brought to you by Father Timothy Gallagher, visit DiscerningHearts.com. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about DiscerningHearts.com.